taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, we teach rational generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today. You know, they say sunshine is the best disinfectant. And I suppose that's true. We want things to be free and open. We want things to be exposed. Things that are done, you know, in a back room or behind closed doors are often assumed to be, well, if not exactly nefarious, certainly not above board, not out in the open. So I wanted to take a look today at some recent news items that deal with secrecy and tyranny and see just how they link together. So let's start by actually calling back to a story I talked about before, and that was the reports of U.S. Capitol Police spying on members of Congress. Well, apparently this is raised to the point where now the Inspector General for the U.S. Capitol Police has opened a formal investigation into these allegations. Allegations that law enforcement is spying on members of Congress, on their staffs, even visitors to their offices. Now, there is a political twist to this story. You see, it seems to be Republican members of Congress that have complained. But my concern is more general. It's the question of spying on American citizens, spying on the American people. Now, sure, there are situations where you open an investigation. It generally requires something called probable cause. It requires that rules be followed to protect the rights of the individual. These rules are called due process. These investigations, any data they want to search for, would require a warrant. Fourth Amendment says that warrant must be supported by, must be based on probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, specifically detailing what is to be searched and what or whom is to be seized. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the unregulated spying, alleged spying, on members of Congress and their staff and their visitors. Now, U.S. Capitol Police Chief J. Thomas Menger said that he acknowledged that the investigation has been opened. In a letter that he sent to several Republican lawmakers, he insisted that all actions have been legal, necessary, and appropriate. He said, "While I am confident in our methods, I am asking the USCP Office of Inspector General to review the USCP's programs related to these security assessments to assure this both this committee and Congress as a whole and the public that these processes are legal, necessary, and appropriate." Legal, necessary, and appropriate. Well, let's start with legal. Now, maybe there were warrants issued. Maybe there were. But if the Capitol Police were investigating, were spying, you know, we're not simply talking about investigating public records. We're talking about surveillance. We're talking about accusations of breaking into congressional offices and photographing or otherwise recording private data that is within those offices. See, without a warrant, I don't see how that's legal. And as far as appropriate, again, if you're dealing with a criminal investigation, we're talking about the police, the Capitol Police. If they're dealing with a criminal investigation, well, certainly there's some record of it, isn't it? I mean, these law enforcement officers didn't just say, you know what, I think I'm going to investigate Congressman so-and-so today. Maybe tomorrow I'll investigate Congresswoman so-and-so. So if they're legal and they're appropriate, if they're legal, there should be warrants for searches. If they're appropriate, there should be records that that what led to the investigation, what the investigation is actually looking for. But the word I take the most umbrage with is necessary. See, again, you can follow the law. That's absolutely fine. And it can be appropriate to investigate a member of Congress. Absolutely. But necessary, that's an odd word. See, because it reminds me of the speech William Pitt the Younger gave in the House of Commons in 1783, when he said, "Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves." Why does a Capitol Police chief believe it is necessary for them to spy on Congress, members of Congress? I didn't say investigate, and I make a distinction, right? It's one thing for them to run an investigation. Again, there should be records for this as to why they're investigating, what they're investigating. But to surveil, or to use a more common vernacular, spy on members of Congress. Why is that necessary? See, it's necessary in places like the old Soviet Union or in communist China. It's necessary in Iran and in Afghanistan. You have surveillance of, well, those who are in opposition of you. But that's not what the Republican lawmakers who believe they are victims of this are alleging. They're not alleging that there was an appropriate investigation going on, that the U.S. Capitol Police received a warrant to search their offices. No, that's not at all what they're alleging. They're alleging spying in its worst connotation. And in fact, these Republicans, well, they take it a step further. See, they claim that the Capitol Police have effectively been transformed into Nancy Pelosi's personal Praetorian Guard. Again, we're dealing with politics, and we're dealing with political rhetoric. So I expect it to be a bit overblown, but that's an interesting question. Was the U.S. Capitol Police acting on legal allegations, on complaints, or on orders from the Speaker of the House? Now, why is this so dangerous? I mean, it's kind of obvious why it's so dangerous, but I want to remind you of what George Washington said in his farewell address. "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism." Are we dealing with the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension? Are these congressmen being investigated for legal reasons or political ones? Because if they're being investigated for political reasons, not legal ones, not only is this surveillance not legal, not necessary, not appropriate, it is the type of despotic tyranny that we see in third world countries, that we see in communist nations. It is the antithesis of freedom and liberty. It is the antithesis of the rule of law. It means that the House of Representatives is no longer a true representative house of the people. It has become more of a political band, you know, rather like the Soviet legislature or the Chinese legislature. It is an organ of the political party in charge rather than a representative of the people themselves. But it's not just the Capitol Police. See, those who are prosecuting Nicholas Rodin, a defendant in the January 6th event, can't seem to get their story straight either about who was actually in the Capitol or when it actually happened. It got so bad, the judge actually admonished them. See, what they're trying to do is they're trying to limit the scope of any questioning or cross-examination of Secret Service agents. See, now, they are, I guess they're claiming that by the very nature of their role, there's information that a Secret Service agent could not provide because, well, it would be a threat to national security. And I can understand that to the standpoint of sources and methods and how they actually go about the details of protecting a protectee. But they apparently, in this order, the complaint by the prosecution, they claim both Vice President Pence and Vice President-elect Harris were in the Capitol when Mr. Rodin entered it. Now, this struck me as a little odd. You see, because if I understand the timetable of January 6th, the people who entered the Capitol did so before the certificates were counted, meaning Ms. Harris was not the Vice President-elect. Oh, sure, there are a lot of people who called her the vice president-elect, but she was not actually the vice president-elect until the counts were made and it was shown that she had won the vice presidential election. Now, this may be a tiny little detail. Just goes to show that even the people who run the government, even the people on the bench, can't read the Constitution of the United States. But the more important thing is it has to do with when a Secret Service protectee, a high-level protectee, is in a building, federal law says it's restricted space. So when any building, you know, president, vice president, members of the cabinet, any high-level Secret Service protectees, I understand it, makes that a restricted space, making it a crime to enter it without proper credentials and authorization, which is the whole basis, as I understand it, of the case against Mr. Rodin. So even the fact that, you know, was Pence there is in question. Where was he? Of course, if it's a vice, Ms. Harris, was she yet vice president-elect, or are people just calling her that out of laziness? This has a serious impact on the case against Mr. Rodin. So the judge wasn't too happy. She made a point of that the charges were misleading. If they were saying that Ms. Harris was vice president before actually being elected, that would certainly be misleading. It just shows the mess and the disaster that seems to revolve around the whole mess that happened on January 6th. So you have the Capitol Police spying on members of Congress. You have people complaining about the prosecutor in January 6th who can't seem to get his order straight about who was where, when, and how, and even apparently the title of the people the Secret Service were protecting. And now Senators Wyden and Heinrich are calling for information about a CIA program that's conducting secret bulk surveillance on Americans without congressional approval. Now, again, here's a couple things that I want to point out here. So you have the CIA spying on Americans, something that they're not allowed to do. Legally, they're not allowed to do. But you have senators complaining that they did so without congressional authorization. I'm sorry, they need a constitutional authorization, meaning they need a warrant. They don't need Congress's approval. They need a judge's approval. Congress cannot order the CIA to violate the Constitution. But again, we're dealing with the ignorance and, in many cases, apathy that leads to this, you know, the secrecy and the tyranny. So you have the Central Intelligence secretly collecting information about us. the idea of privacy is pretty much dead in America. Let's face it, you know, there information is being collected on you left, right, and center. But then you've also got these two senators who are upset because they didn't get congressional approval first. Because they don't apparently don't realize that as a creation of the Constitution, as members of Congress, they are subject to the Constitution. And the Constitution says the American people are to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. We're supposed to be secure against those things. Meaning Congress cannot authorize a secret surveillance program of the American people. Even a judge cannot order a secret surveillance program blankly of the American people. It requires a warrant, which requires probable cause supported by oath or affirmation. But you see, the American people have gotten so lazy, they said, well, we'll let the courts protect our rights. We'll let Congress protect our rights. These idiots don't know what our rights are. These people have sworn or affirmed to support the Constitution, but they apparently have no clue what it actually says. Because they believe that Congress has the authority to authorize the bulk collection of data on the American people. Now, back to Senators Wyden and Heirich, they're upset, apparently, because the CIA has conducted its bulk security, its bulk spying program, the surveillance program of the American people, not based on the laws of Congress, but on an executive order. They reference Executive Order 12333 as the foundational authority by which the National Security Agency retains, analyzes, and disseminates foreign signals information. Now, that's important to understand. This executive order, signed in 1981, authorizes the intelligence community within the the laws of the United States to conduct intelligence activities necessary for the conduct of foreign relations and the protection of the national security of the United States, including collection of information needed by the President, National Security Council, Secretaries of State and Defense, etc., production and dissemination of intelligence, collection of information concerning the conduct and activities of to protect against intelligence activities directed against the United States, and on and on. But notice, it's focused on foreign signals. But in their letter, they note that the program exists entirely outside the statutory framework that Congress and the public believes governs the collection, and without any of the judicial, congressional, or even executive branch oversight that that comes from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. See, they're saying, well, you know, we, Congress, have authorized certain security issues, certain intelligence collection, signals collection. We did so in the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. My question then is, what happened? Why are you spying on Americans? And is anybody going to give a serious look at this? And I do want to point one thing out, only because I mentioned it before. Remember when I mentioned the Capitol Police spying, that it was two Republicans that were complaining? Well, actually, it started out with two. There's now a group of Republicans. Well, Wyden and Heirich, they're Democrats. So I don't care. We have our government spying, allegedly, on the American people. We have allegations that the Capitol Police are spying on our representatives in Congress. And we have a Secret Service, we have a prosecutor who can't figure out who is the president, the vice president-elect, when they're the elect, or even honestly state where they are. See, this is the frightful despotism that Washington warned us about. The fact that we have Democrats spying on Republicans, that we have Republicans spying on Democrats, that we have prosecutors that are willing to, if not lie, just utter incompetence in order to win a case. This is the tyranny that comes from our secrecy. There's a line from the miniseries Chernobyl. Of course, I'm old enough to remember Chernobyl live, but I watched the miniseries. I found several things interesting, but there's a line in there where the scientist is testifying before some court, and he said, "Lies are what make us up. We are lies. It's they define us. But every lie owes a debt to the future." And the reason that caught my attention is debts compound interest. The more we keep secret, the more we hide, the greater that debt that is owed. But it's also the greater the opportunity for tyranny. Tyranny thrives in the dark. There's a reason why the terms backdoor dealing or dealing under the table have nefarious connotations. These are ways we get around the rules. These are ways we get around the laws. Now, our founding fathers understood that there are certain times when secrecy is needed. When they wrote in the Constitution that Congress was to keep a journal, they agreed that there were certain things that Congress could agree needed to be kept secret. And of course, if men were angels, we wouldn't need governments. We wouldn't have to worry about the secrets that are kept. But men aren't angels. And we do have to worry about the secrets that are kept. One of the pivotal moments in political history in the 20th century was Watergate. But it wasn't the actual crime that got people in trouble. It wasn't the actual breaking in to the DNC offices that actually got people in real trouble. It was a cover-up. It was this attempt to maintain secrecy of the sin that really exploded the Nixon administration. Now, the Biden administration is not new at this, and the current Capitol Police are not new at this. It's not like, oh, suddenly this is happening. This has been going on for years and decades. And sadly, the American people have tolerated it. We've given a wink and a nod and, oh, you know, well, it's okay when my guy does it, but it's terrible when the other guy does it. We've allowed this secrecy to fester to the point where it's used as a weapon. And we've allowed this call for necessity to be the cry of tyranny. Necessity is the basis of every infringement of human freedom. It is the creed of tyrants. It is the cry of slaves. And every time the American people turn the other cheek, every time that we make excuses for it because of who's in office or because we're afraid of what might happen, we incur another debt to society. A debt to our future, a debt to the truth. So while secrecy may be needed at times, it is a tool that is best used sparingly and only with proper supervision. Because the consequences of secrecy are tyranny. There's a reason why all of the tyrannical governments in the 20th century had their own version of the secret police. A law enforcement arm that didn't work in public, whose actions were not made aware to the public, who worked in secrecy. It was the terror generated by those secret police that kept the masses in line. if we don't want to live with our own version of the secret police, then these infringements on the rights of the people need to be brought into the sunlight so that they can be properly disinfected, so that we have the opportunity to judge the actions of our employees for ourselves. Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, please head over to constitutionstudy.com. You know, I'm still putting on my online Constitution study. It's the last live event that is free is this coming Monday. So if you want to get in on it, go to constitutionstudy.com/study. You can read all about the study, everything you get with signing up for the study, and you can register there. And you'll get the invitation and you can join us for our last live one free. You still get access to the free recordings of the previous events. But after Monday, if you want to be part of the rest of the study, you either have to be a paid member at the Constitution Scholars or you have to purchase it. All the details are there. Again, go to constitutionstudy.com/study. Also, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. I am still trying to put on some more events for the Knowing Your Rights tour and maybe some others as well. Now, I've had a couple people approach me about coming and speaking in their area, and I'm trying to work out the details, but there's a lot of things that people, you know, I'm not getting a lot of follow-up. So if you'd like me to come speak to your area, I don't care where it is. If you're not charging for the event, I won't charge you to show up. If you can help pay for my travel expenses, that's wonderful. But again, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour, check it out, put in your request at the bottom, and see if I can come speak to your group, speak at your event about the Constitution, about reading, about studying, and about understanding and teaching the Constitution. Also, please head to healthycell.com. You know, life gets crazy. We don't eat right. We're on the go all the time. Sometimes our bodies just need some help, and we really need better nutrition. So Healthy Cell has worked out a new way to get the vitamins to work at the cellular level, to do things like boost your immune system or help you sleep better. Just focus. Yeah, focus. You know, you get to the end of the day and you just have a hard time focusing on the details. At least I do. So I use Focus and Recall. It helps me focus on what I'm working on. And unlike reaching for an energy shot or an energy drink or even a cup of coffee, I'm not dealing with the caffeine. I'm not dealing with the sugar. I don't get the shakes. I don't get the highs and I don't get the lows. So try Focus and Recall or any of Healthy Cell's products. And if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout, they'll give you 20% off your first order. So again, go to healthycell.com, try any of their products, put them in the cart at checkout, use the code OUTLOUD. They'll give you 20% off your very first order.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's healthycell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Dr. Vladimir Zelenko knows a thing or two about the immune system. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his early COVID-19 treatments, and now he's offering his Z-Stack supplements to our listeners at a discount. Just go to zstacklife.com/freedom. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
It's time to rethink COVID disinfection. A study by Harvard, Drexel, and Virginia Tech concluded, we don't have a single documented case of COVID transmission through surfaces. The reality is that COVID spreads mainly through the air. Shared air is the problem, not shared surfaces. The solution is the Genesis Fogger, which uses natural HOCL to disinfect both air and surfaces simultaneously. It's perfect for home or business. NIH says HOCL may well be the disinfectant of choice for coronaviruses. There's nothing more natural or more effective. Genesis fogs at the precise particle size to combat COVID and other harmful pathogens. It's what's missing from your disinfecting protocol. Visit genesisfogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at genesisfogger.com/outloud.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Here we read and we study the Constitution, we teach the rising generation to be free, and we expose what, well, others wish to remain secret. And that's kind of the theme for today, the secrecy that leads to tyranny. Now, in the first half of the program, we talked about the Inspector General looking into secret surveillance of members of Congress. We looked at the question of the was Kamala Harris vice president-elect when the Secret Service said she was vice president-elect, and what is all the secret and hidden information they're using to try and convict the those who entered the Capitol on January 6th. The big deal, as I understand it, is, you know, was it truly a restricted area because there was a high-level protectee in there or not? And a whole bunch of questions like that. We had the members of the Senate Intelligence Committee and their letter talking about the CIA secretly bulk collecting data on Americans, you know, under a supposedly foreign information data gathering. They're actually collecting it on American citizens. These are all, you know, not good things, but these aren't all of them. Well, for example, the U.S. Federal Cybersecurity Agency is urging a judge not to release information on the analysis of Dominion voting systems equipment that was used in the recent Georgia election, the 2020 Georgia election. See, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, said that to open this information would, well, it would allow hackers to see how they could gain access to the system. They say the report discusses potential vulnerabilities in Dominion ImageCast X ballot marking devices. So, okay, let me stop and hang back up for a second. So the question has been, for many years, for many of us, the security of digital voting, electronic voting systems. And apparently there is a report about the equipment that was used in Georgia that wants to be, people want to see what's going on. If you live in Georgia and your elections were compromised, wouldn't you want to know about it? But this federal agency doesn't want you to know, saying, well, it could expose, it'll expose vulnerabilities. Well, that means there were vulnerabilities. So, which immediately brings into question two things. Have those vulnerabilities been fixed? And were those vulnerabilities exploited? See, if they have been exploited, does that mean the election in Georgia in 2020 was compromised? As so many people have said, was it compromised? Is it definitely compromised? Highly likely it was compromised? Possibly compromised? And as a voter in Georgia, before you go back and use these systems again, wouldn't you like to know if there were problems in them? Which brings up the second question. Have these been fixed? See, if the vulnerabilities that were found were fixed, then, well, why would you care if a hacker knows about a vulnerability that no longer exists? Which, of course, this all brings me to another political question. Is it truly a question of, I mean, let's face it, if it was just truly a question of the security of our election process, if there's nothing to worry about in this report, why is CISA worried about it? If there are things in the CISA report that are worth worrying about, why are they not fixed? And then why are you still using them? What's the saying I use all the time? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 10,000 times, I'm probably an American voter. At this point, without access to this data, the state of Georgia should refuse to use Dominion vending machines. The people, the citizens of the state of Georgia, should require that Dominion voting machines not be used in any election until a public report shows in detail the security measures, that the vulnerabilities that existed in 2020, and the resolution that has been put in place. And if they're so worried that putting out a report could compromise these systems are not secure, they should not be used. The very fact that CISA is worried that these might provide information that shows the vulnerabilities proves these systems are not secure and they should not be used for any election anywhere in the United States. But you see, rather than looking and saying, listen, there are problems, we need to deal with these, what is the Biden administration's cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency want? Let's keep it quiet. Let's sweep it under the rug. Let's hide the information that says here are the problems so that nobody knows about them and we can go ahead with compromised systems. I'm sorry. This is what I mean by secrecy leading to tyranny. If you are not allowed to know the problems with the voting system, if the people of Georgia are not allowed to know the problems in their voting system, that election is not free, it is not fair, and it is not transparent. Therefore, it should be considered unreliable. And if the people of Georgia cannot get their employees to provide a safe, secure, and transparent method of election, they need to hire better employees. This secrecy, to me, is not simply a question of, well, do you expose vulnerabilities? I understand that. I spent 30 years in IT. I understand about, you know, wanting to fix vulnerabilities before you announce them. Every major corporation I worked for that developed equipment and developed code, if they found a security flaw, put a fix out before they made it public for this very reason. But if CISA says we shouldn't make it public, then they haven't put a fix out. Why are we trusting them? We shouldn't. And we should be very skeptical of a federal agency that is looking to hide from the people the details of what may be wrong in their electing system. We are a republic, which means we have to have, we elect representatives, but how can we know if it's accurate if the electing of representatives does not, we don't know if the elections are going through legally, properly, if bad information is hidden from us. So we've talked about the little hidden stuff that's going on in the federal government. Let's take a look at another department. This time, the Department of Homeland Security. Now, they've issued a terrorism advisory bulletin. And in this bulletin, they warn that misdis or malinformation is a terrorist threat. Which I find very interesting because now all of a sudden, see, you remember from 2016 through 2020, we kept hearing how everything was the Russians were controlling President Trump. First candidate Trump, then President Trump. That's all we heard over and over and over again. foreign meddling. And now they're saying, listen, when people give misinformation, it's actually a foreign and domestic threat. Now, let's start with a couple simple, very important facts. Who defines what is mis, dis, or malinformation? Because I remember for 2 years telling people that masks don't work. And I was told that was misinformation, that's disinformation, I want to kill grandma. People wanted to silence me for saying that. But now, oh, that's okay. That was actually turned out to be correct. Where does the federal government get to determine what is mis, dis, or malinformation? The answer is nowhere. The answer is we want to silence people that have a different point of view. This is the exact reason we have a First Amendment protection for your freedom of speech and your freedom of press. The federal government has no legal authority to control, to abridge your right to speak and to publish information. It is not a terrorism threat. It may be a threat to the current administration, but it is not a terrorism threat. Now, can terrorists use misinformation, disinformation? Well, sure. Countries have used disinformation as part of a warfighting strategy pretty much since there's been warfighting strategies. But that's not what they're talking about here. Because if you look under how we are responding, what you see is DHS and FBI using what they refer to as misinformation and disinformation in an attempt to label people as terrorists and therefore open them up to possible legal threats. See, they talk about sharing information and intelligence with partners across every level of government and in the private sector. They're doing threat briefings with state, local, tribal, territorial, and campus partners, and informed planning, as well as to inform planning efforts. See, DHS wants to say, well, you see, this person, they're giving misinformation. That could lead people to violence, and oh, by the way, therefore they should be shut down. They're creating a new and dedicated domestic terrorism branch. Now, they say it's to produce sound, timely intelligence needed to counter related threats, but they've already admitted that they're basing it on political science. What the politicians refer to as misinformation, disinformation. I'm sorry, is it misinformation that Washington, D.C. jails are currently housing detainees in violation of the Constitution? They're not giving them a speedy and public trial? That they're denying them their right to counsel? They're interfering, I should say, with their right to counsel? That they are... The conditions are cruel and unusual. Now, everybody could say that would make people mad and lead them to violence. That could be a terrorist threat. No, that's telling the truth. And that truth is a threat. It's a threat to the tyrants in Washington, D.C. that don't like having their narrative challenged. DHS also wants to provide communities with resources and tools to help prevent individuals from radicalizing to violence by preventing them from getting information that contradicts the appropriate narrative. They don't want people to stand up. They don't want happening in the U.S. what's happening in Canada. They do not want the people standing up and saying, hell no, we've had enough. We are mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. And one way to do it, and one way tyrants have done it since the beginning of time, is to limit information. DHS has designated domestic violent extremism as a national priority area. Really? Were you really worried about that back in 2020 when major cities had terrorists running around, burning places, attacking cops, attacking people, looting? Literally taking over public property didn't seem to be a national security threat then. Why is it suddenly now? See, this is what happens when this type of information is kept secret, when it's kept private. When they put these in place so that the first time you really deal with them is when they slap the bracelets on you. When they use these rules and regulations, these illegal rules and regulations, to attack you. This is the tyranny of secrecy. Now, here's another little secret you should be aware of, especially if you live in my old home state, the Empire State. The Empire State is a perfect name because the legislature of the Empire State wants to give the governor of the Empire State the authority to create internment camps. That's what I said, internment camps. Remember World War II, the Japanese internment? They want to do that in the state of New York. Oh, they're not going to do it based on race, but they want to do it based on a governor's opinion of a health emergency. See, I find it interesting. It's Assembly Bill number 416. And in it, it reads, upon determining by clear and convincing evidence that the health of others is or may be endangered by a case contact carrier or suspect case contact or carrier of a contagious disease that, in the opinion of the governor, after consultation with the commissioner, may pose an imminent or significant threat to the public health resulting in severe morbidity or high mortality, the governor, and he goes on and on and on, eventually says, such persons shall, or group of persons, shall be detained in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premises designated by the governor or his or her delegate in complying with Subdivision 5 of this section. I want you to listen to this for a second. And I want you to imagine your worst nightmare governor, whether that be Cuomo, Hochul, Trump, Pataki, whoever, has the power to determine it. What they say is by clear and convincing evidence, but based on what? See, it doesn't go by a court. There's not a court order in here. This is simply the governor says, the governor determines, you know what, there is enough evidence that someone has a case or a contact or is a carrier or even is suspected to have had a case or contact or be a carrier of a contagious disease that, in the opinion of the governor, poses an imminent and significant threat to the public health. Now, I want you to think back over the last 2 years. We have had a disease that, even by what appears to be inflated CDC numbers, had a mortality rate of less than 2%. 1.4, 1.6, and when they start adjusting for some of the data collection issues, maybe as low as 0.25%. We'll take the high number. 1.6%. Is that, in the governor's opinion, an imminent threat? It certainly was. New York State is still, in many ways, locked down because of a disease that 98%+ of the people who get it survive. But you see, in the governor's opinion, the governor doesn't have to provide any facts. He doesn't have to provide any evidence. It's never reviewed by somebody else. They just say, you know what, in my opinion, this is dangerous, and I suspect you've been in contact with someone who may have possibly had this disease. Now you can be detained, or an entire group can be detained in a facility approved by the state of New York. Now, if they violated the Constitution to demand vaccines, to demand masks, to lock down, shut down without any legal authority to, what do you think is going to happen when a governor gets in trouble and there's a disease floating around? Who knows? It could be the flu. Well, listen, we shut everything down for just like a point and a half of deaths. We got to shut everything down, and we have to inter those who disagree with us. Is that what you want, citizens of New York? Are you truly prepared to be subjects of an empire where due process is denied. Remember, the 14th Amendment, no state can deprive you of life, liberty, or property without due process. Where, ladies and gentlemen, is the due process in this legislation? The answer is absolutely nowhere. How about the Constitution of the State of New York, Article 1, the Bill of Rights, Section 6? No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. For those of you who don't know, due process is a legal or governmental process that protects the rights of the individual. Where is that in this law? Absolutely nowhere. There is no evidence. There's no right to confront your accuser. There's no the ability to present your own evidence or to present witnesses in your favor. There is no due process. And they want to sneak this through so that when they need it, you can be interred. Because they suspect that just possibly, maybe, you were in contact with someone who sort of, kind of, maybe might have been in contact with somebody who had a disease. Have we learned nothing from the last 2 years? Apparently, the legislature of the state of New York hasn't learned anything. The question I have is, have the people of the state of New York? Ladies and gentlemen, these are your employees. You hired them. This went through the assembly. It's currently in the Senate, I believe. You hired these people. Do you want to keep having employees that are destroying your rights? Not because of an actual threat, just because in the governor's opinion, something bad may happen. Not based on probable cause, not with evidence supported by oath or affirmation. Nope, just based on the governor's opinion that, yes, I have enough evidence to convince me. This is the tyranny that's being brought forth from the back rooms of the legislature of the state of New York. Ladies and gentlemen, you know why I left the empire? Nonsense like this. Will the people of the state of New York put up with it? Now, maybe they are complaining. I haven't heard it. I haven't seen news articles of people complaining about this. I haven't seen any protests. Where are the protests in Albany about the attempt to deprive due process to the citizens of the state of New York simply on the opinion of the governor? It's he or she is supposed to be governor, not king or queen. But that's exactly the type of power they're talking about giving to the governor of the state of New York. See, what was done in secret needs to be broadcast from the rooftops. It needs to be open and above board. If you live in the state of New York, you should be talking about this. All of us should be talking about what the Capitol Police are doing, or allegedly doing, what the CIA is allegedly doing, what DHS is doing. We need to be upfront and talking about it. I don't care that they call it misinformation. I don't care what they call it. They have no legal right to stop it. I was speaking at an event the other day, and someone asked me, what do we do? It's where's your hope? It's so hard. I said, all you have to do is not live by their rules. Live by the true rules. Live by the Constitution. Sure, you're going to get beat up some. Sure, you stand up to a bully, they're going to push back. But it's amazing the feeling of knowing that you have right on your side and it's worth fighting for. It's worth standing up to the tyrant, whether that be a mayor, a governor, or the president. Whether it be the law enforcement officer in front of you or the bureaucrat that's trying to take away your rights. Standing up and saying, I will not comply. I'm going to stand my ground, and here is the Constitution and the proof of the rightness of my cause. I wrote this placard on the website. You can find it on constitutionstudy.com, just search for placard. I wrote this so that you have the tools to say, here is my right. Here is my justification to look you in the eye and say, no, I don't work for you. You work for me. We the people ordain and establish constitutions. We the people create governments to protect our rights. We the people consent to their powers, and we did not consent to you being a tyrant. Therefore, we will not comply. Now, if you're standing alone, well, I hope you have a comfortable time in jail. But when we get together and we stand together, it doesn't have to be as big as what's going on in Canada, but it shows you what happens when people with right on their side stand their ground, when they refuse to fire unless fired upon, but they are willing to stand and fight because it is right and it is true. But it still requires the American people to stand up. To stand up for themselves, to stand up for their neighbors. You know, when asked what type of government the Continental Congress had given us, Benjamin Franklin said, "A republic if you can keep it." If we are not willing to stand up, if we are not willing to push back, we cannot keep the republic. We only keep the republic as long as we follow the same orders that Captain John Parker gave the Massachusetts militia at the Battle of Lexington. Stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have war, let it begin here. And if you want to find out more, please head to the website, constitutionstudy.com. You can find all my articles, videos. You can find the podcast. You can find the links to the show page. You can ask questions. You can be involved. You can be engaged. You can find others that hopefully will stand with you. Also, be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. It's more important than ever that we share these stories, the articles, the podcast, the video, so that we can help secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, so that we can make sure that America remains the land of the free and the home of the brave, that there may always be a place for those who are oppressed and who are disadvantaged around the world, have a place to look to and a place to aspire to. But that only happens if we stand our ground.
Hey, Bill, stay out of jail.